China's Communist Party Congress today chose a new central committee, the 200 or so top people in the party. None of the current most senior leaders, including President Jiang Zemin, is on the new central committee list. That confirms they will not be present when the new lineup of leaders appears tomorrow in Beijing's Great Hall of the People. It's the biggest change in Chinese leadership in more than a decade. The new leaders will have a tough time convincing the Chinese people, especially the young, that the party retains much relevance in an increasingly capitalist China. NPR's Rob Gifford reports from Beijing.
Wednesday night at the CD Cafe in central Beijing. It's one of the many small nightclubs and bars that have sprung up in Chinese cities in the last decade, catering to the new Chinese Generation X. Tonight, the bar is crowded with hip young people. One of them is 22-year-old Aggie Long. She's wearing a t-shirt emblazoned with the word Cuba, but one suspects it's more a fashion statement than a show of support for Fidel Castro. Aggie left school at 16 to become a singer and has just spent 2 years in England. She and her Chinese friends are quite international in their outlook and speak good English. They've even chosen English names for themselves. But for them, the Communist Party Congress in Beijing this week might as well have been taking place on the moon.
I don't think I can care too much about it because I don't know too much about it. And I don't even know what's going to change and what's good about the new guy and what's bad about him.
Aggie is typical of an increasing number of young people who are testament to a startling change in Chinese society over the last 6 or 7 years. After decades of micromanaging the lives of its citizens, the Communist Party has taken a series of remarkable steps. It has, to a great extent, retreated from people's lives, especially in the cities.
I think I choose everything pretty much in my life, what I do. And unless I rob a bank, then the government will interfere. So I don't think my life is limited in any way by the government or by anyone.
Of course, China can still be a police state when it wants to be. Just look at the security around the ongoing party congress, or the way the spiritual movement Falun Gong was crushed like a wayward insect. But generally speaking, the Communist Party has struck an unspoken deal with its people. Don't challenge the system, and you can do whatever you want. The idealists of the pro-democracy student demonstrations in 1989 seem to have all but disappeared. And the party itself is changing. Many people question whether China can even call itself socialist anymore. Aggie's friend, who adopted the English name Jack, is a freelance writer in his early 30s. He also says the party is irrelevant to his life. But he's annoyed it has abandoned all the good economic sides of socialism without replacing them with anything better.
I can see socialist country. They're in the North Europe, like Norway, like Sweden, because they care, the country care about their people. I mean, they have the best like welfare system. I don't think the Chinese government, I don't think they care about the poor people.
This widening gap between rich and poor and the way party members use their power to accumulate wealth have been major factors in the increased cynicism about the Communist Party. But not everyone is quite so negative.
The party, of course, is needed. It is relevant, of course.
Sitting in one of Beijing's many Starbucks outlets, a 20-year-old law student who calls herself Susan is incredulous that anyone would think the party irrelevant. She's studying at one of China's big universities and is a Communist Party member. As Chinese President Jiang Zemin has taken the extraordinary step at the party congress this week to allow businessmen and entrepreneurs into the party, Susan says she still has some faith in communism, but she says it's not an important requirement anymore for joining the party.
It has nothing to do with the ideology thing. It has nothing to do with whether they believe in, you know, the communism or not. Just the party wants the best people in the country to become a party member so that they can use these people to build up the country.
So the party is slowly changing into a big recruiting agency, seeking the brightest and best across the country. where its ranks once swelled with workers and peasants wielding hammers and sickles. Now it's increasingly full of young professionals wielding laptops and cell phones. Joining is not a way of showing your commitment to the revolution, but a way to getting a better job with more pay. But even though China's leaders all this week have talked about the modernization the party needs, they might think that Susan's choice of role model is pushing it a bit. The star of a certain US TV series now available in China, the ditzy, love-struck Boston lawyer, Ally McBeal.
To be an Ally McBeal in China, have the same success as she does, and maybe the same kind of troubles she does, that's a fun life. Of course, I can be a lawyer as long as I work hard enough and I can earn a lot of money. I can have a lot of fantasies. One thing, a Communist Party member also has her love troubles.
And there it is, a young Chinese Communist Party member who sees no contradiction between Starbucks and Ally McBeal on the one hand and Communist Party membership on the other. As the party clings tightly onto its control over political power and crushes anything that opposes it, it's being transformed slowly from the inside by the opening to the world it itself set in motion 20 years ago. Traditional communist ideology, which died a sudden death in the Soviet Union a decade ago, is now dying a slower but no less sure death in China. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Jackie Judd will be here tomorrow. I'm Bob Edwards.